It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. From the time it opened in 1972, Hancher Auditorium on the University of Iowa campus was one of the premier performance spaces in Iowa. That all changed in June of 2008. The Iowa River flooded like it had never flooded before. Hancher Auditorium was damaged beyond repair, but now, 8 years later, right now, I am standing inside the lobby of the new Hancher Auditorium at the University of Iowa. Tomorrow, the space officially reopens to the public with a dedication and open houses tomorrow from 4 to 7 and another one on Sunday the 11th from 2 to 5. And today, Chuck Swanson is going to show me around. Chuck Swanson is Executive Director of Hancher Auditorium. Chuck, before we start touring the facility and looking at what you've created here, I want to go back in time to June of 2008. And you were executive director of Hancher at that time. When did you know how bad the flooding was going to be?
Well, Charity, it's so interesting because, first of all, we were on a statewide project. And I was with Rubber Band Dance Group, and we were touring the state of Iowa. And Victor Quijada, he's the artistic director of Rubber Band Dance Group, and all he could think about was coming back and performing on that Hancher stage. We had been to Perry, to Marshalltown, and when we were in Spencer, that's right before we came back to Iowa City, I got several calls from the staff talking about flood and talking about the fact that they were going to close down Hancher. And, you know, I just didn't believe it. You know, I kept on telling Victor, you know, I don't think they know what they're talking about. I think this is just kind of a woof call, you know, and I really didn't think it was going to happen. Along the way, I got more calls from the staff, and by the time we got down to Iowa City, the signs were put on the building, the padlocks were put on the doors, and it was shock. It was disbelief. But as Hancher's spirit is, you know, nothing can contain us, nothing can stop us, even a flood. So we had Rubber Band Dance Group, and they were actually, some of the dancers were helping to sandbag. And so what we did then is we wanted the show to go on. You know, the show must go on. So we even tried to get to Carver Hawkeye Arena. And we even took Rubber Band Dance Group over there to try to make sure that they could perform. It wasn't going to be the Hancher stage, but they could perform in Iowa City. And, you know, we had troubles, of course, trying to do the logistical sorts of things, but even driving over there, the traffic and everything. And there was supposed to be a residency here in Iowa City, too. And so finally, you know, my boss at the time, Philip Jones, just said, Chuck, you know, give it up. It's not going to happen. So then it was tough for the staff really to deal with the fact that our home away from home, you know, we're very controlling and we were the landlords of that building. There's no way we could go into that building. There's no way we could do anything but stand from afar. And we as a staff met, you know, as much as we could in locations, coffee shops and all that, just kind of telling the war stories, kind of telling the things that we had heard. And then finally, I got to go into the building, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks later, and I couldn't believe the damage that a flood can do. I think we had 18 inches of water on the stage, and then we had water all the way back to, I think it's row R. And just, you know, the disbelief, and then at that time, you know, there again with my boss, we're trying to figure out how long we're going to be out of operation. And at that time, we didn't know.
Right, this whole time you were thinking, we're going to clean up and we're going to reopen and this is a terrible thing. But when did you actually know that Hancher, as you knew it, was over?
Well, we worked with a local architect, you know, for quite a few months. And first of all, we had to take care of the season, because we had all these tickets, and so we started right away to decide which events would not happen. And it was about half the season. I know Spamalot, the Joffrey, Avenue Q, some events that people were really looking forward to. We didn't have the stage. You know, we didn't have the capacity to do that. It was February of the next year, February of 2009. We were in the Vice President Doug True's office at the time, and in Jessup Hall, and he shared the news with us that FEMA had declared Hancher, along with other buildings, damaged greater than 50% of the value of the building. And so we had the opportunity to build a new Hancher. But then we had, I'll bet it was a good year or more of trying to decide where to put the buildings. Because as you remember, Hancher and the School of Music were one complex.
Well, and that entire time, you were holding Hancher performances around southeastern Iowa, really a number of different venues to keep Hancher going during that time. But you were presented with this incredible opportunity to build a state-of-the-art facility. And, of course, the old Hancher was a storied performance venue, but you had the opportunity to make something extraordinary here. And that is where we are now. So maybe you should start showing us around. I mean, we're in the lobby right now, this big, airy lobby. It's very light, very white in here.
Unbelievable. But I want to just tell a little bit about the selection of the group, the project team. And so we had already selected our architect of record. We had selected, which is OPN from Cedar Rapids. We had selected our construction manager, Mortensen Construction, who actually built Disney Hall. And they built, Kinnick Stadium, the addition. They built the Marriott. So they were very well-known, within the university. And then we put together our team, except for the design architect. And so we had 59 applications. We brought that list of 59 down to 11, and then 11 down to 4. And I remember it was September 10th of 2010. All four of them were on campus. We interviewed all four in one day. I was sitting next to President Mason. And Pelle Clark Pelle from New Haven, they were the last to interview that day. And I have to say, they just knocked the socks off. Cesar Pelle loved this setting. He said he's never been able to design a building in such a gorgeous setting. He said typically he's got a downtown area, two or three blocks. And as we stand here and look at this, Charity, can you believe it?
Oh, it's so beautiful. And, of course, I mean, it's very close to the old site for Hancher. But because it's on higher ground, you have this lovely park-like setting between Hancher and the river. I mean, it feels more open than it was before.
Well, very much so. I mean, it's positioned right. It's positioned where the river's actually our friend, and we get this beautiful view. And very transparent. The glass is just unbelievable. And then you walk in, as you just did just a short time ago, and the wood, the cypress wood in the ceiling and in the overhang, the terrazzo floor, the steps, everything about this is so light and so welcoming. And Cesar wanted it that way. He said that he wants the audience to provide the color and the excitement. And so you walk in, though, Charity, and you look up, and to me, majestic is what I say, and you think about the work that went into making even the wood in that ceiling. But then you walk up the grand staircase, and look, it's only 9 feet high. And then you go into the theater when we do, and that's high again. He wanted to create an adventure in the lobby, in the areas where people gather, even before they see what's the adventure on stage. And he's very interested in creating areas of conversation. So Friday night, I love this, we had a performance for the construction workers. We wanted to thank them. And they came, and they, of course, loved to sit in the seats and see the fruits of their labor. But for me, watching the people in the different areas, it works. People along, you see the glass along the staircase. People can stand on that staircase, talk to people below, and carry on conversations about whatever they want. This is a place to gather. This is a place for people to come and forget about, some of their problems, and come and just really experience something that is special and unique to Iowa City and the University of Iowa.
Well, let's start this adventure. Let's head up the grand staircase.
Let's go this way.
Oh,
is that all right? Is that
sure.
All right? We've got another. So four concession stands, that are lit up. This is our showcase. All the profits go to arts education, our Hancher Guild, total volunteer effort. Beautiful box office. Take a look, Charity, at the signage above. This is our concierge, and that's our coat check. We worked with a company from New York, Pentagram, and they've come up with some very interesting, unique things.
Just a white question mark, a white coat hanger. You know exactly what to do at these locations.
So there again, we're heading down the west corridor, and you talk about transparency. Look at the glass here, and you have a great view of the Leavitt Center.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Guathney was the architect for the Leavitt Center. And Cesar Pelle, from the very beginning, he said, and Charlie's passed, he said, Charlie was a good friend of mine. He said, I want to make his building, when this is all over with, look even better than what it does. And look how they go together so nicely.
They do.
Yeah, it's a great neighborhood. There's not a straight area of this building. It's very complicated, so I can't say enough good things about all the workers who, and they really, after, and there's still some work going on, They told me that this has been a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They said that they have never and never will again work on a building like this again. So that makes you feel real good, too. Because, you know, when Hancher was originally built, the first Hancher, three construction workers died. Yeah. The scaffolding broke. And so we remember that. And through this whole journey, as a matter of fact, we started with a site ceremony. It's a Japanese custom to bless the ground. I think we had one sprained ankle. You know, so we were very pleased. That was an important part of this. In Mortenson Construction, the construction managers, we put together work rules before the whole project started, and the top one was safety.
Where to next?
So head down this hallway. We're going to the rehearsal hall, but I've got a piece there that I'm excited to share with you. This is a piece that's all about Iowa. It's all about Hancher. It's all about the University of Iowa.
You're also making me wait, aren't you? You're trying to build it up even more.
I am. So your first look, what do you think, Charity?
That's very cool. So there's a mural on the wall. Again, we have this beautiful wood paneling. And tell me about this piece.
So we commissioned Anita Jung. We were put together with her through some friends at the Art Museum. She's a printmaker, and she's a professor at the School of Art and Art History. And then we selected seven communities across the state. So Council Bluffs, Spencer, Algona, Muscatine, Maquoketa, and Iowa City. Anita and I went to all the schools. And what we did is Anita had the students take a selfie of themselves. Kids love that. Then she had them trace their selfie. And then we wanted to get some other part of the curricula involved. It's important for us to relate the arts to other areas of study. And what I really like about this, and I'm so excited about this, is in 2020, some of these little seventh graders will be coming here as freshmen to the University of Iowa.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm at the new Hancher Auditorium on the University of Iowa campus today. The old Hancher Auditorium was a premier performance space in the state from 1972 on, but was lost in the flood of 2008. This space will open to the public tomorrow, and Chuck Swanson is executive director of Hancher Auditorium. He's showing me around today. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm at the new Hancher Auditorium on the University of Iowa campus today. The old Hancher Auditorium was a premier performance space in the state from 1972 on, but was lost in the flood of 2008. This space will open to the public tomorrow, and Chuck Swanson is executive director of Hancher Auditorium. He's showing me around today. So we're outside the rehearsal room here.
Let's head into the rehearsal room. Okay. So this is a space, Charity, that will have a lot of uses. When we designed this, we talked about flexibility. We talked about we really want to use this space for as many different sorts of things as we can, because this is it. We have this in the main theater. So let's go in. It's a 3,000 square foot space. We already have some things scheduled this year that will happen in here. And so we've got capability to hang sound, to hang lights. What do you think those chandeliers, aren't they? Aren't they pretty?
They look almost like Japanese lanterns, almost like paper lanterns. They're very cool. And this is a much smaller, more intimate space, not a large audience in this room.
Very intimate. And another thing, too, Charity, about this space that is great is that there's transparency. We can have, you know, the curtains are down now. But if dancers want to look at the outside, it's beautiful out there. The space, you know, has the lightness, has the window. And also out there, there's a natural amphitheater. And so we had Terrence Simeon, the king of Zydeco, in June, I think it was. We just had a pickup concert, and we had 400 or 500 people show up, you know. So that space will be fun. You know, there's a lot of experimenting that we have to do. You know, we're going to have our place, but yet we got a lot to learn, too. And over the next few years, we will be trying things out. We'll be trying to figure what the best use of all these spaces are. But this is, I think it's a great room. It's a lot of thought there again went into this room. I want to take you into the theater. I'm dying to take you into the theater.
Yeah.
So, you know, Charity, during this whole process, we realized that we could only get, because it's a FEMA-funded building, we could only get changes to the building according to codes and standards. So backstage-wise, you know, Hancher built in 1972, and shows have changed.
Yeah.
Broadway shows, I don't know, back then, maybe two trucks. Now they're 12, 15 trucks or more. And so loading docks, here's an example. We had one loading dock in the original Hampshire. We have three loading docks in the new Hampshire. We actually have a wardrobe room, which I can't believe. We never had a wardrobe room. So what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. So we are walking into the auditorium now, and it's like a constellation of stars. And there's this swooping light effect up high with the different lighting elements. And it's so light and airy in here, too, with the seats are kind of a light green. I mean, when I'm used to walking into an auditorium, and at the old Hampshire, it was a very dark room.
I think it's a very welcoming feel, very warm, very inviting feel. And you mentioned the lights. You know, that was a significant part of the design of this. Is Francesca was her name, the lighting designer. And from the start of the project, we said Hampshire's been first in a lot of ways. You know, leading commissioner of new work. We were the first when it came to a hearing augmentation system, you know, back in the 80s. And so we said we want something significant that nobody else has ever had. She tells us to this day, Charity, that nobody else has these suspended hoop LED lights. And I think they're stunning.
They are stunning.
Yeah.
And you have the suspended hoops, but then around them, these smaller lights, and then you have that echoed on the fronts of all of the seating areas with these smaller lights that it took me a second to realize are in constant motion. So there's this twinkling going on.
These are what we call the house lights, Charity, and they will probably, for most performances, once the audience is seated and the curtain goes up or whatever the performance is, in most cases, these lights will probably be turned off. And then we'll come on again at intermission. But maybe a symphony concert, maybe when we have the Cleveland Orchestra this January, maybe we'll just dim the hoop lights. You know, she was here, Francesca was here a couple weeks ago during our commissioning process. And she, with our production staff, who is a mighty staff, they're just terrific. She really checked a lot of the different levels and really kind of gave different suggestions. But there again, our staff over a period of time will learn how to use these lights and learn what the best levels are. They tell me we could even flash those hoop lights. So maybe
wow.
New Year's Eve we can have a party.
I was just going to ask you that, if you have computer control over them so you could even orchestrate them with music, with sound.
Yeah, I'm sure anything can be done. But we are very excited about the opportunity. I mean, one of my favorite things is when I first see people walk in and I see their expression on this, because it's not what people expect.
No.
So capacity-wise, this is 1,800 seats. The original Hampshire was 2,500.
Right, so it's smaller.
Smaller, but yet everybody's after that experience, Charity. Everybody wants to come. Everybody wants to be able to hear. Everybody wants to be able to see. When we came up with the 1,800 capacity, the architect said we'd hit a sweet spot architecturally, aesthetically, and acoustically. And I'll tell you, the acoustics are wonderful. The sight lines are great. The seats, that was one of the major choices, is that I'm always nervous. And we chose seats back in 94 for Hampshire, too, when we did a renovation. And that's such a personal thing, and there are so many choices. And I'll tell you, I'm very pleased with the seat. So everybody's going to be able to see. Everybody's going to be able to hear. And not only the audience side, but you think about the artist. The artist, the happier they are is when they can really feel connected to the audience. And they can really feel and even see faces. So that chemistry between artist and audience is going to be like no other.
Well, you have two balconies and then the sort of box seats
gallery
along
seating,
the sides.
Yeah, is what we call them. 900 seats on the main floor, and then they're distributed not quite equally, but pretty close in the balconies. And really, Charity, even in the balconies, the sights are... Some people want to sit up there. They've been on tours. They said, this is where I want to sit.
Right, I'm sure my kids want to sit up there. I'm positive.
And then I've got to tell you, too, about the acoustics,
yes,
Charity.
Yes, I was just about to ask.
Good. Well, first of all, we had, during our commissioning, we had everything tested. We have the acoustician here. You know, we had, you know, all the players that were needed to be here, and everything came out great. Everybody was happy. But I just want to mention who our first group was, or one of the first groups that we had in terms, because you're going to test them. You got to have music. You got to have live, you know, musicians. It was the Iowa City Community Band. And it was about 65 members, and they were, first of all, it just got me. It was very emotional, but just seeing them, because I knew so many of them from different walks of life, so many different ages, but they all had their Hampshire story. They all had their connection to Hampshire, And I've never seen faces beam so much. They were so happy to be a part of this. But what we have, which we didn't have in the original Hancher, is we have variable acoustics. You see the curtains? They can change the curtains, the absorption. You know, like say, for instance, because Hancher is a multi-purpose house. Mm-hmm. We do a range of programming, as you know, sometimes a spoken word and sometimes orchestral or music. And so, say, for instance, a music performance, we want more sound, so the curtains will be closed. There will be more exposure to the walls. But then when the spoken word is, you don't want that echoing, so they will have the curtains open more. Okay. And so this was all tested, and levels were set with the acoustician here. So even before performers come, our stage staff has the capacity to hit a computer. I don't know how it's done, but the curtains will be set at a certain level, but we'll still do sound checks where adjustments can be made. But in the original Hancher, we never had that opportunity at all. So sound-wise, too, everybody's going to be pleased. And aren't those curtains beautiful,
they
too?
They are. They are. Yeah. They're just a little bit darker than the seats. The walls are a little darker than the seats as well. That sagey green, almost a bluey green on the walls, and the velvet-looking curtains. It's really gorgeous.
And the main curtain looks pretty much like that, too. It's not even here yet. It's going to be hung at the... we're getting close to the end of the month. I think must be early September. But the main curtain, you know, was still in the process of being made, but the color is very similar. You know, it's not going to be like the original, the old Hancher curtain, the second curtain that we had. It's not going to have a real flair to it because the rest of the house is so beautiful, you know. But it'll be a beautiful curtain.
Now, speaking of that curtain and so many of the elements that made the old Hancher mm-hmm. so special, I remember the public mourning when, you know, each piece was declared lost. Have you incorporated any elements from the old Hancher?
It's so funny, Charity, that you say that, because when we found out that, you know, the building was going to be demolished, you know, one of the first things I said, because I always liked that curtain, I said, let's use that. I said, let's send that to some high school. You know, I mean, love Hancher connecting to the state, being part of the University of Iowa. And come to find out about it, that curtain, believe it or not, was damaged just because the velour captured the moisture. Mm. And the whiteness, remember that white part of that it all turned brown. The fire retardant was gone. And somebody finally said to me, Chuck, get real, because that would just be more of a liability to
right.
a school. So the curtain was not saved. But one thing that we really saved were the benches. Do you remember those benches, those leather-covered benches that we had in the lobby?
Okay, yeah.
Very heavy. But Harrison and Abramowitz, who were the architects to the original building, they designed those benches. And so it was important for us to have a part of that original Hancher plus a part of those architects' work. And so we recovered those benches. And we walked right by them when we were backstage. I'm sorry, but I should have showed those to you. So we have those. We actually had the pianos, even though they had been in 1972, the original. More work had to be done with them. But do you remember when the pipes broke? After we had moved them, mm-hmm. so they were damaged in the second flood.
Right.
So we had to purchase a grand, you know, new piano too. But some stage equipment was kept, some lighting in that. But, you know, for the most part, you know, most of that was either out of date or it just was damaged.
Looking ahead to the new season, what are you most excited about seeing on the new Hancher stage?
Charity, that's the hardest question you've asked today. You know, really, everything is just going to be such a joy. For me, seeing what's on stage, but also just seeing people and seeing the gleam in their eye and the excitement. But, you know, the Nutcracker. I mean, I hate to just be so obvious, but, you know, that is going to be a big, huge deal. Do you know who Christopher Wheeldon is? Christopher Wheeldon, he's the most sought-after choreographer in the world. He directed and choreographed An American in Paris, which won numerous Tonys on Broadway. He opened it in Paris, and he is rock star. I use that word a lot today, but he is a rock star. He is choreographing and directing this Nutcracker. Brian Selznick, he's a writer of children's books. He's won numerous awards. He's writing the story, and the story is based on the Chicago World's Fair, 1893, in Chicago, based on the book The Devil in the White City. I don't know if you've read that. But so the story is, you know, all different than what the original Nutcracker story was about. And then the set designers, the costume designers, everybody is like Tony Award winners. Like, they're really a big team. And so they'll be here in November for about 3 weeks. Oh, and Charity, the big thing, and I can't tell much about it yet because I don't know enough, but we're going to choose local audition and rehearse local children, a minimum of 60. So think about their experience with the Joffrey on stage. So we're having preview performances here. They'll be here for about 3 weeks, you know, really developing this piece. And then we'll have, I think it's five performances, but they're preview performances because the world premiere will actually be at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. And we're a university. We're part of the University of Iowa. So we help things to be born. We help things to come, you know, to be, you know, started here. And then we launch them and get them off somewhere else. And what's so fun about this is that in 1893, the announcement of the World's Fair, one of the first announcements, came at the Auditorium Theater. So it's all full circle. And the Joffrey, as you know, our relationship goes way back to the 80s. So this just brings that to another level. And it's the Joffrey's 60th anniversary season. And, of course, it's Hancher's opening. And I think that will really give us, and we're going to learn this whole season, but 3 weeks with one company and the intense work, we'll learn a lot about this building. We'll learn a lot about the best way to work this building. And everybody loves the Joffrey. It's a love relationship, you know. So that along with, I hate to say it, I'm a junkie for Mamma Mia. I love Mamma Mia and the Sound of Music, the voices, and Renee Fleming.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm talking with Chuck Swanson, Executive Director of Hancher Auditorium. He's showing me around the new Hancher Auditorium today.
Now it's after the show.
We took a little shortcut, but we're up here in the cafe space. And this is kind of a new venture for you, a new opportunity with the new building. And it's a lovely space. Again, very light, open, airy. The windows are huge, and you get to see all of the University of Iowa campus. What do you expect to use this space for?
Well, this is the Stanley Cafe, Charity. And, you know, the original Hancher did have a cafe, but it was an afterthought. The building was built in 72, and I think it was 1980 is when we added the cafe. And so you are absolutely right. So much thought went into this. And the motto is come early, stay late. You know, we want people to really enjoy this. So for all performances, this will be open before performances and after performances, not during the day for lunch because we don't have parking. And this does not have a kitchen. It's got a catering kitchen, so that makes a difference. But there again, we're trying to squeeze whatever we can out of this. So we've even added every Thursday night beginning in October from 5 to 7:30, this space is open and it's available. And we want the public to come. We want to create a destination here. We're working with University Catering, who's come up with some very wonderful offerings, very satisfying. We have a bar. You know, people can get a drink if they want a drink. But the ambiance and the beauty of this place is unbelievable. We've had a wedding up here already.
Wow.
So people can rent the space. You know, people can use this space. The departments from the university have used it. And I actually heard from one of the departments, they said a place like this doesn't exist in the world. I mean, they really, I think it's, and the sound is great. We had a donor event up here with an artist, and really, Charity, I was surprised as to how the spoken word, I thought it would be a little echoey, but it's a great, wonderful
so
space.
Maybe it's even an additional performance space. And is this a balcony or
yes.
a patio area
There's
out here?
A terrace. Okay. You know, half the year we can go out there or whatever, but the views from that terrace are just, and it's a great view of where the original Hancher was, you know. So I look out there now, and I think about September 16th, where we're going to have Trombone Shorty and Preservation Hall Jazz Band right out on that green space with the audience right where the original Hancher was. Do you want to go out there?
Sure.
Okay, let me get the key. You know, we really wanted to start this celebration off with the fact that Hancher is for everybody. That's why we started off with open houses. We started off with this free outdoor concert. We didn't want to start off with some ticketed event. We want everybody to come and embrace this place and really get what they can out of it to begin with, and then really find that this is a place that's so inviting, a place that's so welcoming, that they're going to want to come back and make it a part of their life. So let me get this door.
Well, and you can just hear the difference. Although we're in the middle of Iowa City, you can hear insects singing because of this park location that you have. It's really, really beautiful, and a view of the river and the trees, but also the campus and the buildings as well.
And Charity, you know what I really enjoy too is the fact that this view is spectacular, but even views of the building, everything was so well chosen, you know. We're just anxious now to share it with everybody. for years and years to come. That's the best part.
And it will remain high and dry.
That's right. You're right, Charity. It will.
Oh, Chuck, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Charity.
I've been talking with Chuck Swanson, Executive Director of Hanscher Auditorium. He's been showing me around the beautiful new Hanscher Auditorium, which will open to the public tomorrow at 3 p.m., followed by an open house from 4 to 7 p.m. for the public to come and see the facility. Another open house is coming up on Sunday the 11th from 2 to 5 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.